This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, episode 107.
Welcome to the show created by vets featuring absolutely no pets. This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, created by Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light. Our resident veterinarians have swapped out their stethoscopes in favor of microphones to bring you the Veterinary Project Podcast, a show focused on real conversations, aimed to connect this amazing profession full of remarkable people. Through the sharing of collective stories and wisdom, and connecting over the many unique challenges we face, we invite you to join our community of veterinary professionals leading intentional lives. And now, let's get started with another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. We're going to be rolling here in real time, a look into the life of Mike and Jonathan today. Jonathan is in clinics today, literally on his lunch break, eating yogurt and granola bars before we hit record here. So how's the day going, Jonathan?
Well, I told everybody I'm going to disappear downstairs. We've got a dog that needs a cysto. So I told the owner, come back in 2 hours. We'll see if we can get some urine, because I knew I was doing this podcast, and the dog was super comfy and happy with us. It's a 4-year-old little golden, which is great, or 4-month-old, I should say. And otherwise, it's balancing a whole bunch of things happening also with Mosaic right now and other projects on the go. So in normal fashion for September, as was to be expected with our kids now both in school, Candace's yay, there is a lot happening. Welcome to the world and why we're having this conversation today.
Yeah. So the theme of today's conversation is basically Jonathan and I thought we'd kind of lay our cards down on the table and have a real honest look at what we are doing well and what we are doing not so well as, you know, whatever we want to call ourselves here, entrepreneurs, you know, fathers, husbands, all the different hats we wear. And we know we're not unique. We're not sitting here saying, hey, we're special, we're more like busy than you. That's not the case. We know that all of the listeners of this podcast probably feel some of the same feelings and often like they're running on a treadmill.
Absolutely. Whether you're an associate veterinarian or whether you're in your first, second, third, fourth year of vet school, remember how busy it felt? Because it really was. It's just in a different time of your life, different pieces and challenges and focuses coming in. So yes, I agree with you, Mike. This is not to say we're better, different, or worse than anybody else. It's just our perspective.
Yeah. Well, let's, I'm going to shine the spotlight on you, Jonathan. So, I mean, some of the hats you wear, management role, obviously with Mosaic, clinic owner, Bridgeland Vet Clinic, father, husband, you're on council, you know, you're doing all sorts of stuff in veterinary medicine. What are some of the things as you cram your lunch down your throat while we try to record a podcast here? What are some of the things you would say that you're struggling with or not doing well or know you need to improve on?
Great question. I would say that my teams and the teams that I help lead and work with need me at a different level from the doer, the task, the fixer, so to say, to now looking at that longer term vision. And longer term vision in our world could be anything from, hey, what's happening in the next month as we look at one of our major conferences going forward. And we've already got lots of planning going on for CanWest at Banff. Look forward to seeing people there, to the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. With being able to do that, I struggle and I'm struggling with getting the time blocked off of my calendar to really have that quiet time to be able to sit and process and vision. And that is needed in order to be able to do it successfully. And I am not doing a good job of that right now. Every excuse in the book could be given and should be given, but it still doesn't make it better. That's what my teams need. That's what I need to do better at.
Interesting. Okay. I'm throwing us on a tangent because
that's
what we do. I really like what you said. Your teams need you at a different level. Like that really jumped out to me there. And you and I chat all the time. And it is this sort of evolution and progression of like, okay, you know, here's Jonathan quarter one, 2022 and Q2, 2022. And it almost becomes different versions of Jonathan, right? As you keep leveling up.
Absolutely. We've gone through our first earliest budget ever for Mosaic, given everything that's happening in the world and the excitement and opportunities that are available within Mosaic. We did that in August. I've never ran a budget that early in my life. But that's also had us now visioning out further as to expectations, opportunities, challenges. That's the level that is required as compared to, hey, what does next week's look like in terms of inventory, pricing, et cetera? That's a change for me, and I've really enjoyed it. Yep. But that also means I can't be going to fix the toilet. I can't be going to fix some of the things that I would have just previously said, hey, I'll go fix it because I'm better, easier, quicker to do. That's also the place I sometimes struggle. And I know my team see that is going, Jonathan, back up. We've got this. You know, we've got this. You've trained us, helped us well. Go at it.
Yeah. And it's funny, like even using the example, fix the toilet. When you think about veterinary medicine, it's like, why is fixing a toilet coming up in conversation? But it's like, it's all of these little things that pop up. And then in the moment, we convince ourselves, this is really urgent. Like, this is a really high priority task right now. Like, the toilet is leaking and it must be fixed immediately.
It's like when you have to write your medical records. You get your records done during the day. You have no problems. You get home at the right time. But there's every other possible thing you could do except for write your medical record. And we talk about that with our teams and going, hey, let's look at that, what is called procrastination, step it back into the real and going, what do I need to get done now so I'm actually better off later?
Yeah. Yep. Fantastic.
That's so, it. Yeah. So I'd say that one, if we were to put a theme on it, it would be too much at a different level. And that's a struggle right now. Yeah. The second one where I would say also a theme and runs along the same line is there are areas where I know I need to sacrifice, and that's a big word. But if I want to succeed in the ways that I need to for my teams, my family, my health, et cetera, you got to give something up. That's something that a couple of my mentors have always said as they've gone up the different levels within the entrepreneurship framework. And it's a place I find myself now.
Okay. This is interesting, and you and I chat about this one a lot. So if I was to summarize what I'm hearing there, it would be saying no, right? And yeah, you mean you take on a lot. Like I think I'm taking on quite a bit, and I often will look at you and compare myself, which is bad, probably shouldn't do that. And I'm like, wow, dude, you got to start chopping. Like, but yeah.
I'm super excited. We just brought on a new regional operations director, which I'm super pumped to have join us this week. And she's going to now take on the day-to-day operations in a couple of our clinics with some future opportunities on the way as well. And I'm just so excited because that gives me that ability to put my time where it is really needed for the benefit of all. So again, sacrifice. Secondly to that then is sacrificing some of those, let's say, last day, end of day meetings so you can get home, spend those few hours with your family and make sure that you're fully engaged. That's a place where over the last couple of weeks with some things happening, I've not been able to do. And that's a struggle. And that's, again, even as I say that, I'm like, that's such a ball of shit. That's excuses. But it's true. What do we do with it? You got to make change or else it just continues.
Exactly. But I mean, it's funny. What did you say in pre-recording? You're like, well, I hold my cards pretty close to my chest. And I was like, perfect. Let's turn record on and talk about it. Let the whole world hear. So, I mean, good for you. In like the self-awareness is step one, right? And then, you know, obviously you're aware of that. Now you can decide where do I want to and commit to going from here.
So what we're calling the title of this is Psychology Sessions with Mike.
Open session. Yeah.
Open therapy session. I like it.
But you can flip it on me.
Oh, we're going to right now. Okay. So I've shared with the world and our viewers and listeners and forever, ever and ever. What's it look like in your world, Mike? Where do you see it that, you know, those struggles are in place right now?
Yeah. So the first thing that came to mind for me was the word busy. And I really feel that right now. Like there's a lot going on. There's the farming, the real estate. We have the new baby coming in October. So there's like that pressure is right around the corner of that. And if I'm being honest, I hate the word busy, right? Like I really hate that. And I'm
Why do you hate it?
Well, I just no offense to anyone. Like, you know, when you meet people and it's just the classic mindless banter, like, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. And it's just so like cliche and like, man, like it's so it. In my opinion, it's just such a weak word, right? So when I say it, like I'm calling myself out here, and it's like that is a big red flag for me, because what that tells me when I say to myself or give myself the excuse, I'm so busy, it tells me I'm not focused, right? And I think about this, I don't know why I think about it this way. Think about doing a dental extraction. Right. And I probably picked dental extraction because when I was not as good at dentistry, they were so frustrating. Like you would just sit there and fight with various teeth forever, you know, and your hands getting sore and you're cramped. And it's just like, come on. And you go harder and harder and you move more. You do more movement and you're going further and further behind. Right. And so that analogy, I always think of that like, no, the proper way is, you know, find where your elevator needs to go, apply the pressure, and then just stick with it and hold it. And that tooth will just slide right out. And so whenever I say I'm busy, I picture myself fumbling around inside the mouth of a dog or a cat, struggling to pull the tooth. And I'm like, okay, I am doing way too much stuff here. I'm moving around inefficiently. What needs to like tighten up?
If I had a clap button, if we were like Jim Cramer on CNBC, I'd press the clap button right now, not only because that was an amazing analogy and story. It's so true though, right? By doing more, you actually go backwards and do less. And you, if I am recognizing for you, when you're calm and collected and focused, you get shit done. When you're busy, you get less done. I noticed that for you for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Like I can tell in myself. And then it's like, I don't know if anyone else does this. Like for me, it's the classic patterns. Like I'll drink more coffee than I normally do. And then you get that sort of caffeine jitterness and you're so busy. You'll like pick up a stack of papers just to move them. Cause you're already thinking about like, well, I have that task and this task and that task and nothing gets done. You should have just went and whatever your favorite thing to do for the day is do that. If it's golfing or take a nap or whatever, cause it would have been more productive.
Nice. It's a great analogy. Great story. Tell us what else. What else looks like a struggle in your day-to-day right now?
For me, the second thing I put is the book. Like the book that I am writing and have been writing forever. The reason is it's been such I call it like an open file. And it's now become like an energy drain. And the reason for that is for me, it's always been, you know, like three or four, like business priority, like it always gets put to the bottom of the list every time. And that's happened for too long. And now it's just annoying. It's like, okay, like just publish the thing and move on. Like it's just, you know, so it's the energy side that's annoying to me. Like even when I'm sitting in the combine, I'm like, oh yeah, you got those 19 open tasks on that book to do.
Do you think, and here's an open question we didn't talk about in pre-recording at all, if you had not made the book public in any fashion, way, or form, you would feel that same pressure?
That's a good question here. I'm thinking on it on the fly. Yeah, probably. Because for me, like I have it written on my huge wall that I write everything on. It's honestly just something I've always wanted to do, like write and publish a book. Like I'm doing it for me. And then I really do hope it has an impact on the veterinary community. Like that is ultimately what I hope. But inside of that, so there's sort of two phases. There was the writing of the book, which that's all done, but that was putting the words on paper and then going in my head and having this like fear of judgment, like, oh, people are sure going to balk at this. Like, because I'm saying stuff in there where it's like some people agree with some of it and some people won't. And it's like, that's very uncomfortable for me. Like I'm not a controversy guy. I'm not going to say stuff just to stir the pot. But It's all stuff I truly believe, but it won't land with everyone. So there's that fear of judgment. And then the last, whatever, 4 or 6 months or however long it's been, the content is done. Now it's all the marketing. And it's like, that's not really my style either. Like, you know, like I have limiting beliefs and mindset issues around this concept of sales, right? And they're working with me on like, okay, we're going to build like your lead gen and your funnel. And it's like, I don't really care. Like, I just want the book to be published. And if people want to read it, they'll read it. And if they don't, they won't. Like, you know, and it's
case in point, the Veterinary Project podcast.
Well, right. Cause it's like, the goal for me is like, I hope it impacts people. I don't really care about any of the fancy, like Wall Street bestseller or whatever the hell stickers they put on covers of books. Like, I don't, right? And so the marketing I've really been procrastinating on because it's just not really that aligned with me.
And so as a result of that, it doesn't get published. So it stays in the open file and therefore cause angst.
Yeah. Too much energy drain.
Yep.
So, and that's what I've learned about myself is I am very much a like project oriented person. Like, give me a project. Let's run it across the finish line. Excellent. What's next? Right.
That's where your real estate comes into handy real well, because that's a lot of what that is, isn't it?
Yeah. Basically, like how I handle real estate now is like I have an open offer on an 18 unit apartment. And, you know, we don't know if that's going to officially close or not, but that'll be a project where get that asset, renovate it, change management, get it turned around, then hand it over to our management team. And then for me, that is basically a file closed, except I have to peek in, you know, and watch statements, but that's way less energy than the initial repositioning.
Definitely. Yep. Okay. So for those that are out there that are going, okay, what do these guys do well to ensure that, you know, they can have the life that they want? What does that look like? So I'll keep it on you for now. What does that look like? What do you think you do well at?
I got three things here. So number one, I'm not going to say too much on, cause I think I've said it a lot, but I always put health in there because I really believe, you know, if you're, whether you're doing well or not, you have to look at your health because, you know, you can only operate at that level. So I am doing a good job with my health overall, like all aspects, sleeping, training, eating. I'm giving myself a pretty good check mark there. So that's in place. So happy with that. Number two is eliminating all of that sort of excess energy, like household task stuff. So I know I've mentioned in the past, like we have a like professional chef that comes to the house, meal preps for us. I haven't mowed my lawn all year. They were just here. They come every Friday. We were getting Riley out the door and the lawn was being mowed. And it's like, excellent. Go ahead.
Do you think you would do this? So this is a part I struggle. So now we're going off on tangent. Candace and I like cutting the lawn. We know it takes away from our ability to do other stuff, potentially with our family, but we like doing it. Do you think if you enjoyed doing the lawn, you would still have it?
Well, it's funny you ask that because I love mowing lawn. Like I really do. I love the smell of like fresh cut lawn and such, but when I look at my life and it's like, things need to go. Do I like mowing the lawn more than I like spending time with Riley? No. Right. Like it's for me, it's just, it comes down to that. And then it's the energy around it. So like, I am really big. A pivot that I've had in my life is, it used to be all about like sort of return on investment, right? Like how, if I put time in, I can make more money or whatever that looks like. Now it's all about return on time and return on energy. So like, I don't have to worry. Is our lawnmower working? I have no idea. Is the jerry can of gas full? Don't care. Like it takes no energy. It takes no decision-making. Like when am I going to mow the lawn? I don't know. Never. Cause I'm not doing it. Right. It is
you
just
put yourself in a position where you can afford to it, even though like you're not, you know, super rich or anything like that. And I think people on this podcast need to recognize that too. There's sacrifice in giving that but the sacrifice is worth it. You gain in the end.
I mean, this is a whole episode. I am personally of the opinion. Now there's phases to life here, right? This is probably not very pertinent advice to a veterinary student, that doesn't have as much revenue coming in. They can probably move the needle more by focusing on reducing expenses. I'm at a stage in life where it makes more sense for me to focus on driving revenue, because the $45 or whatever it is that they charge me to come mow the lawn, I can earn $45 like quicker and easier than mowing my lawn.
Excellence. I think that's a really important part.
Yeah. So on that note, I'm setting up, like, I'm not shoveling snow this winter. That's getting outsourced. And then the big one, Rosalie's taking the lead on this, but we are looking for a nanny. We had an interview with the sort of first candidate that didn't work out. So we're still searching. But that's the big ticket item that we're looking to add on to help remove household tasks. And I mean, I'm beating a dead horse here. I can't stress it enough how eliminating all of that extraneous stuff frees up your life. Like, after this podcast, I can walk upstairs and there will be pre-cooked food packaged sitting in the fridge, and I will grab one and I will eat it. And that will be the extent of the energy that my meal prep took.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then number three, I'm rambling. I'm really chewing on this concept of 10X versus 2X. So, you know, instead of doubling my life, how do I 10X it? And I'm not saying the 10X to be super cliche. It just forces you into better questions. Because
so are you reading the book 10X, or is that where this came from? Or,
well, not the Grant Cardone 10X. This comes from Dr. Ben Hardy. He's the gap and the gain guy, and he has a book coming out around how 10X is easier than 2X, which I have not read yet, but I plan to. And the whole thinking in there is it highlights what you need to say no to and what you need to let go of. So, you know, for me, I had some real estate speaking opportunities and whatnot coming up this fall, even though that's like, that's in my wheelhouse, you know, those would be easy to say yes to, but it's like, well, we have a baby coming October 13th and I have all this other stuff. And it's like, so I said no to it. Right. And it's like learning to say no. That's why I kind of like when you had said earlier, you're doing too much, you need to learn to say no. It is hard, but that reframing it of like, okay, if Jonathan doesn't want to just move up one level, he wants to move up 10 levels. Totally different set of questions.
Oh, we're going to have another episode on that, I believe.
So I'm still chewing on that. That's my combine mental exercise. So
I like it.
Hey, over to you. What are you doing well? And then let's let all these souls on their way.
Then we'll close it up. I think we've chatted about this before, but I'll put this out here. I calendarize everything. So I have my one main calendar, which then works through multiple businesses and are attached. And I think I'm in a system now right now that everything runs through that. And I've worked the tweaks out. I have an assistant now that has access to those calendars. And that has been very fruitful in ensuring that with all the different ventures that we're a part of, and then personal life now on top of that with kids in school, sports, et cetera, that I can ensure that I maintain my schedule. And for me, it is rare that I will be late for something. And when I'm late for something, there's usually a good reason, because I hate being late. And the older I get and the different meetings I'm in and opportunities, that is not professional in my view, and something that we continue to work on. So for me, calendarize everything, make sure it's in the books. That way there's less of a chance of double booking, triple booking, doing other things that really decrease people's relationships value if you keep on doing it over time. Yep. Second one that we talked about in the pre-recording is communication. And this one's going to be a continuum until the day I die. Candace had some things that she wanted to bring up. I had some things I needed to bring up once we got out. And again, this wasn't fighting, but this is communicating. This is providing examples of things that are difficult or we need to walk through. And what I recognize is that ability to just have another person that you trust so much and talk about pieces, how that actually ends up lightening your shoulders. Even if they haven't provided an answer or the next step, just being able to get it out there. And when I do that and I do that well, man, does it make a difference. When I don't do that well, it doesn't do well. It doesn't work. And then I carry it all inside. Yeah. So I'd say that's an area I need to continue to improve at. it'd be funny to have Candace on here right now and see that if she thought I was doing well at it.
Well, that's a great idea, I think. Candace, if you're listening.
Hey, Rosalie's coming on too then, buddy. It's happening.
It's funny you mentioned that because I arguably could have put that in something I'm not doing well. I haven't like train wrecked on it, but it's like there's a few different teams, you know, that I lead or that I work with where things just slipped and have slipped a little bit. And I haven't communicated enough to tighten that back up. And I'm sure we've talked about this before. The longer you let it slide, the further that gap grows. And it's like, it's not even a big deal if you just address it, you know, sort of quickly, politely, professionally, you can close that gap and away you go.
My old boss Metro would say, yeah, that X versus Y axis, and it's small, and then it gets bigger over time. And that means that the reality gap, and for people that are watching, that reality gap, which is between that X and Y axis, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's time, if you're leading a team, where you can't close that reality gap. And it's done. That relationship's over. And so, yeah, that you want to have close, constant reality gap coverages versus, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not a set it and forget it. That's one you got to keep bringing back. Keep bringing back.
Ever with everybody. And lastly, I'll just put one more is health. I think I'm doing pretty darn well at that one. Same thing. I was in the gym this morning, first thing, and it was the best thing I could have done. Did I lift as heavy as I wanted to? No. But was I out there? Yes. And just doing those habits and tracking it. I track my habits. I've got my Oura Ring, best thing I could have bought in the last 2 years. That makes all the difference in terms of making sure, just like you, sleep, diet, health.
That's after. The Oura Ring, you've sold me. I'm going to get one, but I'm not getting it until the new year. Simply, I was talking with my trainer about it, and he's like, with a new baby coming, he's like, why would you want to track your sleep through that like madness? He's like, you're just going to negative placebo yourself. Like when I check my Oura stats and see like, oh, wow, you were up 4 to 6 or 8 times last night. Like you had a terrible sleep. He's like, you don't need that. You know, you're going to be tired in October and November. Like
November, try the next year, buddy. Good luck with October, yeah. November. It's that second month good. And then 4 months goes to shit again. Cause they figure out, oh, I don't need to sleep while you try and sleep train them.
Yeah, I know. The other thing, the assistant, good job on that. Like,
talking about that for how long though?
And I had a pre-recording here with another future guest that'll be coming on all through their assistant. And I said the same thing to her. I was like, this is fantastic. And it was funny. We had an interesting conversation about it. And she was like, her assistant is just so gifted at organization. And that's the other, like, if people have stigmas around, you know, outsourcing different things, it's important to realize there are people out there where organizing calendars is their jam. Like they love it and they're great at it.
That's where we need to get out of our own brains, because if we're not good at that thing, it doesn't mean that somebody else isn't great and wants to spend their time doing it, which is exactly what you just said. In this example, my assistant, she loves doing research. I like doing research, but she is better at it and there's more time on it. So I've had her doing a number of different pieces in our personal life. Thank God. Cause then I go, when would I have done this as well as she has? Wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. They can do it better. So,
and virtual assistants now. And again, there's so many different options out there. The more I've gotten into it, I go, holy heck. And these individuals, again, you have to vet everything the same and trust what you're getting into, but there's great options in 2022 that didn't exist, I think, 5 years ago.
Yeah. I have a proposal. That's like the next thing on my list that I'm going to sign. And I have VAs coming on board to help tackle all those things I wasn't doing well and get them tightened up. So,
yeah, pretty cool.
Hey, Jonathan. Well, we better let you get back to your lunch break. Talk about not setting boundaries in veterinary medicine. Book a podcast on your lunch break so you don't even get a lunch break.
Hey, I scarf the food before and I get to look at your smiling, happy face. That equals a win on my Friday lunch.
Yep. And there you go for everyone. We're recording this Friday. It's coming out Wednesday.
You do what you got to do.
We've bragged about being ahead. We will be very truthful when we are behind. We are one episode ahead of you right now.
We got some great guests coming up, so I'm not too concerned about that.
No. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this. Hope you got some value. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterinary Project Podcast. As a recap, on behalf of our hosts, the Veterinary Project Podcast will be releasing new episodes weekly. So be sure to tune in as we bring you more conversations aimed at helping you enjoy a life well lived. If you enjoyed what you heard on the show and you want to stay in the know, please like, love, and or subscribe to the podcast on the listening platform of your choosing, as we're available on all the usual suspects. If you know of others that may benefit from these conversations, we'd love it if you please share the show with them, as this will help us grow our community to reach more and more veterinary professionals. Speaking of which, if you are a veterinary professional and would like to get connected with more like-minded individuals who are joining us on this journey, please send an email to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll invite you to be a part of our private Facebook group. General feedback, requests for information, or perhaps requests to be a guest on the show can also be sent to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. Bye for now.